it's like the best of both worlds. They don't have to get stuck in traffic. They don't have an excuse of why they can't make their workout, but they also still get that sense of community as well.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Executive Order Podcast, a show for small business owners who want to learn how to do less to accomplish more. I'm a professional organizer based in Somerville, South Carolina, and I know there isn't a one-size-fits-all for organizing within your business. In talking with my guests and chatting about our struggles, our wins, and our lessons learned, I hope that you can learn what works best for you to create a business and a life that's just right for you. Hey, so today we are chatting with Heather McCrite of Bar Where You Are. She is also a local to me in South Carolina, business owner. So super excited to chat with her and learn more about her. Hey, Heather, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Bar Where You Are?
Yes, sure. So I created Bar Where You Are about 3 years ago. Background, I was a professional dancer, danced my whole life, danced on cruise ships in New York City with dance, of course, fitness is part of that. So when I was done dancing abroad, I moved to South Carolina and noticed that bar was super popular down here. It kind of fit my background already. So I got certified in bar, taught for a few gyms, and then I started teaching at different office buildings around the area and teaching during their lunch break. So I would call them workplace workouts. And then from there, a lot of the clients were asking like, oh, well, we're going on vacation, but we don't want to miss bar. Or some of them were leaving the business that I was teaching. And they were like, well, so we want to still keep you. Like, can you do online workouts? I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. So then I created the online platform, on-demand subscription, which has grown exponentially. We have bar workouts, we have yoga, dance, cardio. So everything for everyone. And then from there, I had a lot of people reaching out to me. Heather, we love your format. We love the way you teach. We're interested in becoming a bar instructor. Do you have a program that we could train under you? And I was like, oh, never thought of that. So then that kind of created the third branch of Bar Where You Are of instructor trainings. So it definitely has been customer, client, consumer led, which is great because they're telling you what they want. So yeah, that's it.
When you were first getting started, what was it about doing the workplace workouts that inspired you to be in that space?
So the whole thing of how Bar Where You Are, just like in the name, came to be is I'm all about creating convenience. Like a convenient workout is key to me. What did I get the most like people telling me? I don't have time. Are they busy moms with their kids, getting them, you know, fed and bathed or having to wake up early or staying up late to go get their workouts or anyone with a busy schedule, their first thing is I'm too busy to get a workout in. So the first thing that I wanted to do was to make it super convenient. No excuses. What could be more convenient than someone coming to your office during your lunch break and getting your workout in? So that's what my favorite thing was, seeing these women. They didn't have to get up early to go to the gym. They didn't have to stay up late to get their workout in. They already have a break built into their day. Let's make it their workout, and then they don't have to worry about it.
And along with that, I mean, childcare is already taken care of. There's so many other things that you have to consider when you are a mom and trying to get your workout in your crazy busy day. Did you find that it was easy to connect with employers in order to get into those doors? Or how did you go about that side of it?
So a lot of the times it was an employee would reach out to me like, hey, I've heard you're doing this at so-and-so's office. We'd really like to get you into ours. And some of the places that I would work, the employer would either pay for it as like a benefit or subsidize it. And then there was other places that it was 100% employee paid for. But the second part of kind of what Bar Where You Are is based on is not only convenience, but affordability as well. So I want you to easily be able to get a great workout in and then be able to afford a great workout. A lot of bar, boutique, and studios are super expensive. So bar was kind of for the elite, it seemed like, for this, you know, high society. And no, it's for everybody. So I wanted it to be able to be at a price point that everyone could afford. So even if it was employee paid for, the prices were still super affordable.
I love that you mentioned that price was important to you to be able to serve the clientele you wanted to work with. And I'm just in you saying this, I hadn't thought of it previously, but yeah, bar is typically a more expensive class. Cycle's a more expensive class, but at least in my mind, I can justify it because the equipment is so expensive. I've never really understood why bar would be priced at such a point when it's typically a community-based course. You don't need that much equipment comparatively. So you're right, it kind of did have this elite spin to it. So I love the fact that you're able to take it and make it so that it is more accessible.
For sure. And I think, so bar was created by a professional dancer, Lottie Burke, over in London. We don't have to have a history lesson here, but back then in the 70s, it was, once it came from London, it came over to New York in the Hamptons, and it was for high society. And it was a lot of private classes. Like, it wasn't group fitness classes. It was either privates or semi-privates with a small group. So I think that vibe has just kind of lasted. A lot of gyms are providing bar with either like a basic membership or a basic group membership. But if you want a highly sought after instructor or well-trained, a lot of times you find this boutique studios charge a lot.
So in this transition from going and being in the workplace, and I know now you're focusing in the virtual space, how has that transition been for you?
Virtual was always an end game for us. It was always our main goal, our main focus. I like just how I want my workouts to be convenient for our subscribers. I call them our bar babes. I wanted this business to be convenient for me. And no matter where we were, my husband and I like to travel a lot. I wanted to be able to do my business everywhere and not have to worry about staying in one location to grow, you know, our following and our customer base. So virtual was always in game, big goal. And because I had already kind of transitioned, still doing the workplace workouts, but I had also transitioned into the online workouts, I think the virtual was already there for a lot of people. So then when I pulled out of the in-person workplace workouts because of the pandemic, it was a no-brainer to go ahead and go virtual because we already had that base.
So that's, I know that we were talking just before this call was recorded, and the fact that you, just before everything happened with the pandemic, had just completed your studio space, I mean, just what a lucky break that happened to be, that like you were just totally geared up and ready to go in that direction.
Yes. I mean, talk about pivot. I know a lot of businesses, it took them a while to kind of get their bearings and pivot, but we were super fortunate. We had already started renovating our downstairs to turn into a virtual space for social media filming content. And then when everything closed down and I had to go 100% virtual, it was right there. It was seamless. We were super, super blessed.
Yeah, that's for sure. But that's so exciting. The fact that your end game was always going to work in that space. I mean, just happened, the timing was like perfect.
Yeah.
How would you say, so now basically you're working out of home. How is that going for you? How has that changed your day to day?
Organization has been key for two things. One, in a physical sense, I wanted a completely separate space that was separate from like our day-to-day ordinary life, something that I could come downstairs and be in that space and be in the studio, like have my studio teacher instructor brain on and keep it organized and clean, not have to worry about, you know, my husband making a mess or the dogs making a mess and constantly having to keep it organized and clean. So that was key for me, having two separate spaces. Second, organizing from home, working from home. Multitasking is awesome, but sometimes multitasking can be a chore and you don't do any one thing really, really good. So it was important for me to, I created a whole new morning routine of where prior to me creating this routine, I would wake up in the morning and I would go straight into work. So now I kind of have this morning routine that's revolved around me during my gratitude practice, praying, kind of do like my home chores. And then at a certain time, I sit down in my office, in my desk, in my chair, and that's my business time. And I'm huge into calendars. I think it's great for keeping yourself organized personally and in business. So I kind of plan out my day or my week, the end of the week prior. And if I have any big goals or any big projects, I make sure that that shows in my calendar. I'm setting time up for the specific time to lead, you know, to the goals or the projects that I'm working on. So yeah, working from home, it's just been keeping myself organized and not getting sidetracked by little things, the dishes needing to get done. So that's kind of, I do those things that I know are going to like irk me while I'm working, like, oh, that bed's not made yet, or there's still dishes. I do that in the morning prior to my office hours. So then when I sit down at my desk, I'm 100% focused on the business and those tasks.
That's really important that you are thinking about that physical space and how even if that bed that needs to get made or those dishes aren't in the room that you're in working, it's still kind of like nagging in your mind because you know it's there. You'll get up and go get a glass of water and see it there. Just kind of that like reoccurring like, oh yeah, I got to do that. So the fact that you just knock that out before you even get into your like working headspace must be so much more freeing that you just like don't even have to take mental energy to put it towards that.
Yeah. And that just comes with knowing yourself, like knowing what sets you off and being, having a mess sets me off. And then I know that I won't be able to fully focus on, like this morning, I had to batch some content for newsletters. Well, I also knew that there was a dishwasher that needed to be emptied, like just little things like that, that some people, that does not bother them at all. For me, I needed that to get done first before I could sit down and focus on writing these newsletters. So just knowing yourself, like not everyone that throws them off like that, but for me, it does.
The other piece of your morning routine where you sit down and really take time for yourself, since this is something that you hadn't been doing prior to working out of home, how has that changed your mindset or your focus, or how has that changed the rest of your day?
It's been great for my mental health. I found when I was first started working from home, before I had created this morning practice, I had a lot of anxiety because I wasn't giving myself any time to kind of wake up, acclimate to the day. I was just, you know, feet down, straight into the office and working. Picked up my phone, read my emails, and then there was my day. So starting this morning practice kind of slowed things down for me, put a lot of things in perspective. So I wake up, pray, I do my morning gratitude, which has been amazing to kind of, I write three things that I'm grateful for that happened the day before. And it kind of just sets this positive tone for the rest of the day. And then I don't feel so anxious. I don't even look, I keep my phone now in my office, so I don't even take it into the bedroom with me, which has been huge. Yeah, that's a big tip that I have. Love
that's
that.
That's a big one. Man, I'll have to consider that one. That feels a little like scary for me. How was that making that transition to keeping it in the office?
It was scary for the first. I have FOMO. I'm so afraid I'm going to like be missing out on something. More business than personal, actually. And being a solopreneur, I just was tied to my phone. If there was a problem, I wanted to fix it straight away. And what actually made me do this is it was like 10:30 at night and I had a customer email me, not a huge problem, just a tiny little issue she was having logging in. And I responded to her straight away. And she wrote back to me, don't know this woman at all, never have met her. She wrote back to me and she said, you work too hard. She's like, I emailed you this because it was just on my mind and I didn't want to forget in the morning. But the fact that you email me back within 30 seconds at 10:30 at night, you work too hard. You need to take a break. And I was like, whoa, if my customers are seeing this, like it's definitely true. So not only do I leave my phone in my office at night, I put do not disturb on at 10 p.m. So then my watch doesn't go off. I don't hear my phone, nothing. And then I turn do not disturb off at 9 a.m. So from 10 p.m. to 9 a.m., I'm not getting any notifications, which kind of allows that space for me to have that morning routine because I'm not getting blown up with emails and texts and calls.
That's a really great distinction too, the fact that you have that designated space that the blinders are still kind of on that you can then focus and do your gratitude, do your prayer, do whatever chores or things around the house without you already have something pulling you and, you know, oh, I have to respond to that or oh, I have to do that or I forgot that's on my calendar today. And you just have that silence to really get the things done that you need to do.
Yes. One morning, right before I did my routine and decided to leave my phone in the office, I was putting on mascara and reading a DM at the same time. And I was like, this is stupid. I'm not doing either one of those things good. I need to choose. And if you were to go into an office, you have set office hours. So it was important working from home that I still had those set office hours.
I have a silly detail question. What do you use for an alarm then?
My iPad.
Oh.
But I turn my Wi-Fi on my iPad off, so I'm still not getting any notifications. And I use my iPad to read at night. That's how I fall asleep. I read. So then right before I go to bed, I set my alarm. I read, but the Wi-Fi is off, so I'm not getting anything.
I love that idea. Because I'm like, okay, well, I
can't use an alarm.
Yeah, like what? How am I going to wake up? I'm not like just, oh, it's this time and ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We did have alarm clocks before phones. I know we forget, but I think you can still get one at Walmart probably.
I wasn't sure if you were just going to be like, yep, it's this obvious. It has a little radio on there or whatever. You just plug it in and click the button until it's at the time you want. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for telling us a little bit about your morning routine. You had also mentioned a little bit about the fact that you are running around in a million different directions, and that's why you're enjoying working from home. Can you talk a little bit about how that's increased your efficiency and how you're able to get more done or more effectively get things done throughout the day or throughout the week?
Sure. So before we started, I was telling Brittany that I was running all over our area, driving around, teaching at different locations, and it wasn't a efficient use of my time because I would be teaching somewhere at 9 and then I would have to leave a lot of time for traffic. And then my next class would be at 12, but then I would have this gap. And I just found a lot of time I was sitting in my car. I found that I was spending money because I'd be bored. So I'd go into the local Marshalls and do some shopping that I did not need. Now that I'm working from home and I'm teaching out of my house, both in person now and virtually, I can literally walk downstairs 5 minutes before class time. So I am working until 5 minutes before my class time. So it cuts out the drive time. It cuts out, you know, I would like to get to wherever I was teaching 10 to 15 minutes beforehand, just to make sure. I'm such like a anxious Annie, like what if there's traffic or what if the building is locked or, you know, whatever. So I would leave extra time for that. And then after class, cleaning everything up, packing everything back in my car. And now there's none of that. So super efficient working from home. No, I always tell my husband when I come upstairs, oh babe, the traffic was super light tonight. I was just 2 minutes up the steps and now I'm home. So that's been great. Mainly it's just cutting out that drive time and then that extra time that I was using as buffer in between classes as well.
I've heard of some people still like doing a fake commute during this if they're working from home because it just kind of helps them get into the mindset or they really enjoyed having that podcast that they listen to or whatever. And I think that's really interesting, but I'm with you in the fact that like, I just like that I go from this room to that room and then I pack up my office. I kind of have a routine at the end of the day when I'm done working, whatever time of day that looks like, where I pack everything up and kind of arrange all the notepads on my desk. And it's like, okay, it's done. And I'm going to walk out of this room and shut the door and just like not think about it again. And I love that walking out of that door takes me right into my kitchen or my living room or my backyard with my dog. And I love not having the commute. I love that it's just 2 minutes up the stairs.
Yes. My husband is loving that we get to eat dinner a lot earlier now as well. Because I would, you know, finish teaching at 7 o'clock at night, wouldn't get home till 7:45, and then I have to start dinner. Not only when I decided to teach exclusively out of the house, I changed all of my class times to a little earlier in the evening. So now I'm done by 6:30. By working out at home, if I need to do any meal prepping, I can, you know, chop the veggies or get the chicken out to thaw or whatever like that. So then when I do come upstairs, it's like 20 minutes and dinner's ready on the table. So that's been awesome. That's been really nice.
I'm curious if you've gotten any feedback from your students in similar ways that they're enjoying having the workout in their home, that they don't have that extra 15 minutes there and getting there early to get their spot and then driving back, maybe hitting traffic, getting home, not having just, yeah. What is there? Has there been any feedback from your students about that?
traffic has been key, that they're just loving not having to have traffic. And then the kids is another thing. Like, the kid was sick, they couldn't take them into the gym daycare. Now they don't have to worry about that. So we kind of have two different things. We have the on-demand subscription where people can do their workouts whenever they want. It's already, you know, in the library, they just pick and choose whatever they want. Then we have a couple options during the week where I teach a live stream class. So, and that's in real time, set time, me talking to you, like I can see you, and there's some people in the class as well. So you can see, if you're doing it at home, you can still see some people in the studio. So a lot of our bar babes have loved both. They like the convenience and the freedom of the on-demand subscription where they can work out whenever they want. But then they also, because they're not going into a gym or a studio, there's that community that they're missing as well. So they also like to tune in for some live stream classes because it's real time. We're talking about real time events. I can see them. I'm talking, like, they'll join the meeting a couple minutes early and we'll catch up. They hear me talking to the people in the class. So it's like the best of both worlds. They don't have to get stuck in traffic. They don't have an excuse of why they can't make their workout, but they also still get that sense of community as well.
That's a really good point with the community and being able to see people that you used to be standing side by side or nearby in the same room. And now I'm sure just the fact that people are able to attend a class in person, but you only have limited spots, that even everyone that wanted to be there probably couldn't be there. Has there been any feedback around how your bar babes have created that space for themselves in their home?
Yes. So like I was talking about earlier, for me, organization is kind of finding, having that physical space that is separate from anything else. So I don't have to worry about wasting, you know, that precious time, that 1 hour a day allotted to a workout. They don't have to waste cleaning it up or anything like that. So a lot of them have converted their garages into like a little gym space, or their bedroom, or if they have a walk-in closet. The great thing about bar is you don't need a lot of space, just like the length and width of a yoga mat. And then you don't need a bar. A lot of them use a chair and you don't need a lot of equipment. So they just need a little tiny space, really. So yeah, walk-in closets, corner of their bedrooms, rooms over their garages, basements. But a lot of them have had fun kind of converting their own space as well to kind of what suits them, what motivates them. Some have like painted their walls or gotten super fun yoga mats. So that it's been a lot of fun to see everyone's home studios.
I would have never thought of a closet, but that's brilliant. Of course, you know, you don't need that much space, and then you can shut the door and kind of be hidden and no one knows that you're hiding in the closet for the next hour or however long.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I want to take a class in my closet and just go hide for a while. You've talked a little bit about organizing the space for you and for your students. Was that something that came naturally to you or something that you kind of had to play with?
I've always been an organized freak, I think. And I don't know where it came from. I think it came from my childhood. Like, everything was always organized. I mean, if I was going to spend the night somewhere, like, I didn't like live out of my suitcase. I had to bring all my clothes out, organize them, fold them. My niece is exactly the same way. And I'm like, oh, you totally get that from me. And that is in your DNA. So I've always been super, super organized, even with the calendar. I remember before we had phones, I would have like a little daily planner and each day was like written in different colors. Everything was color coded. So the organization in terms of space definitely came naturally to me, and something that kind of, like I said earlier, it eases my anxiety and just helps me focus more on the task at hand. So yeah, definitely finding that physical space, organization came naturally, and helping others organize their space as well is a great tool.
I wonder, with the number of moving parts, with having to have supplies in your car and then having to set up and being in a different location a couple different times throughout the day, how did that affect you as far as like your anxiety or organization, or did it not affect you at all?
So probably the first time that I would enter a new space, my first thought was, okay, how can we make this space into a studio? Because I would go into schools and teach the teachers at the end of their school day as well, which was super fun. But every school would kind of have a different location. Some would put me in the library, some would put me in the gym. So the first day that I would go to a new location, I was a little anxious about, okay, how am I going to organize this space? How can I make it easy to clear out and easy to put back together again? Give everyone the space that they need so they feel like they're getting a real workout and not some like mishap kind of workout, you know, strung together. So I would have all the equipment organized. Like I would have everything organized before I got there. So then when I arrived, it was more just planning out, okay, this is where this goes. This is where we're going to do this. This is where we're going to put that. So that helped a lot.
It just made me think of it because in a past lifetime, I was doing a program where I would also go into schools, and it made me think about how, yeah, I would just get like unreasonably nervous. Like I knew that the program was going to go great. I knew that if the teachers had any questions, how I could answer them. But it was something about that physical space and not knowing, was the AV equipment going to work? Was, you know, just all like those little things that I can just, in having this conversation with you, just gives me this flashback to like, oh gosh, yeah, I remember just being so nervous going into a new place and just kind of how that would affect my energy throughout the day.
Well, and I would bring all the equipment with me as well, which probably helped my anxiety, knowing that I wasn't relying on them to have any AV equipment or have the weights. As long as they had four walls and a floor, that's the only equipment I needed them to be able to provide because I had everything else.
Which is so cool because that just totally opens up the world to where you can show up and who you can help and how you can help them. Is there a way, or I know that it's maybe you don't have like a super specific target audience, but is there like a certain type of person or people that you like to work with in this space?
Women just in general motivate me so much. I'm so inspired by all types of women, working moms, college students, single moms, dog moms like myself. Like we all have something that makes our day busy or scheduling difficult to get that workout in. So, and I also believe that workouts, bar specifically, are so good for the mind, body, and soul. So it's not only, you know, the physical results you get out of it, but the community that you get out of our bar workouts, the mental strength you get, the emotional support you get. So I love, like I said, I love moms because I think putting yourself first is what all moms struggle with, but is most important. So the fact that I'm able to make you getting your workout in just that much easier and simpler means a lot to me. I also love college students who have time to get that bar workout in and relieve stress of exams and college life. I also love, you know, my fellow dog moms that we don't have kids yet, but maybe we're married and we love the community of like-minded people. So any woman, and men can do bar too. Just women inspire me a little bit more.
It's funny that you've threw in that, you know, men can do. I have many years ago where I used to live, there was a gym and there was this one awesome bar instructor there and everyone loved her classes. And one time there was this one guy that joined the gym. I mean, joined that class, you know, would usually just work out on his own in the gym. And he kind of walked in like, all right, ladies, okay, is this really that hard? And oh yeah, did he learn?
Oh yeah. I've had a couple of those guys.
It is a different set of muscles. It is so much mental to it. There is, a whole lot of strength that it might not look, you make it look easy.
Yeah, I have, when I would teach at a couple of gyms, I would have some regular guys and they were humbled very, very quickly. And I would love, we would teach a couple like around Valentine's Day, like a couple's bar class, and all the women could not wait to bring their husbands because one, they wanted to laugh at them watching them like tuck and everything like that. And then also they knew how much they were going to struggle. And one of my favorite stories to tell, a new guy walked in and I always have like my equipment right there by the mat so that everyone can kind of see what they need that day. So I had weights, and in bar, you use very light weights. So I max out at 3 pounds. So I see this guy walk in and he kind of like eyes my weights and I tell him like, oh, we're going to need a ball today. You're going to need a yoga mat and you need light weights, probably around 3 pounds. And he was like, no. And he walked out and grabbed 10 pound weights and came back in. And I'm like, okay, buddy, no problem. And all the other women are like laughing and like just dying because they know first song, we grab the weights. 20 seconds in, I see him like looking at what I'm using. Very quickly, he drops his weights, goes and grabs those 3 pounds that I recommended.
Oh yeah, it's a very different use of muscles and the motions. Yeah, it is not. No. I couldn't even imagine. We would laugh when we'd walk into this class. If we saw the 1 pounds out, it was like, oh, she's really going to beat us up today. Yeah. She's going to make us do so many reps. It's going to be so
true.
So where, because there is such a vast opportunity for Bear Where You Are in the business model that you have, what's the big dream? What's the big goal for you guys?
Go global. I would love to be able to travel the world, not only teaching bar classes, but sharing my love of bar, and my passion for bar for other like-minded people who want to become a bar instructor. In the past 2 years, I've been able, right before the pandemic, we went over to the UK and I taught a few bar instructor trainings there. And the virtual world has just opened things up so much for us. We have officially taught someone from every continent except Antarctica. And I've been told that Antarctica is not inhabited, so I can cross that off the list. So all my continents are covered. So yeah, just go global, be able to travel. That's another passion of mine. And if I can combine those two passions together, that's a dream.
That's awesome. Heather, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I am so excited about the programs that you're doing. I'm so excited that you are making this form of exercise, which really doesn't require a whole lot, and you're making it more accessible and more mainstream. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I'm Bar Where You Are, and you can check out our website, www.barwhereyouaresc.com. And thank you, Brittany, so much for this opportunity to share my love with your audience.
Well, it was my pleasure, and I can't wait till we talk soon. Bye, Heather.
Awesome. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the Executive Order Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're really enjoying the show, leave me a review. If you want to connect with the podcast on Instagram or Twitter, you can find it at Executive Order Podcast. And if you want more information or to connect with me about organizing, you can find me at zenniaorganizers.com. All links in the show notes. Can't wait to chat with you in the next episode.